I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. Tonight, getting approval of the agenda is presented with the addition of the settlement agreement for Margot Brown, High Fire LLC.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes of the July 18th, 2023 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unfinished business. Joco First Fire Panel Funding Request. Mr. Knapp.
So we're back to see if you folks would move forward on the funding request for the fire panels for Bonner Mountain. I would like to make it clear that there are two scenarios or two options on the fire panel. The basic one for $29,918, as you guys know from talking to the fire marshal, that's the minimum. And we can do that one and then come back at a later date if so needed to do the enunciation part, which is roughly $39,000. So both of those don't have to go together at one time to make the system work. But the fire marshal is requesting moving forward with the basic one for $29,918. And as you guys know in your discussion, the county is willing to do half. And that's what we're here tonight for, hoping that we can get a direction. The fire marshal has told us that he's good with a couple of weeks. You know, there needs to be some discussion. After that, I'm not sure how long he will move forward in letting it go. There's also a time frame of ordering it and getting it in. So that's where we are, and we was hoping to get a decision from you folks to move forward. Thank you.
Tom, what did you say about the 2 weeks? You have, what, 2 weeks?
The fire marshal told us that since we're out of compliance, he was hoping we would have a direction of A or nay in a couple of weeks so he would know that it was ordered and moving forward. Or if it wasn't ordered, then he would have to sit down and discuss where we had to move forward from that.
We had a discussion with him this morning, and that was the impression we got.
Yes.
I think one of us mentioned we might want to have a discussion with the county first, you know, whether we go with this $30,000 or $60,000 or whatever.
Sure.
And I think that's what we kind of was looking at doing, and it sounds like that's okay. I mean, as far as
okay. Yeah, and that was all he wants to know is a direction. Because, you know, he wants to get that movement forward, and we do too. It would be nice for us to have a direction as a board. I'd entertain any questions you have or anything moving forward. It keeps us going. The basic part of it.
The only question I had, did they give you an estimated timeline from the time you order it until they can get materials and get it installed?
The ordering it until he gets it is, I believe, over 30 days. And then from there, then you'd have to schedule it to get it put in.
Or be still a couple months out.
Yeah.
Operational.
Yeah. And then going through, the fire marshal going through, we are limited to 299 people in the big gym and 299 into the small gym at this point.
Okay.
Are there any more questions for I would entertain a motion to, what's the council's pleasure? Would you like to continue it until we meet with the county?
I would move to continue this for two more weeks until August 15th meeting, so we can meet with the city and county at our morning meeting that day to finalize the plan of attack.
You're invited to come to that meeting too.
Okay.
Starts at 7 p.m.
Okay.
Set your alarm.
On August 15th?
Yeah. Correct. Perfect. The scheduled city county joint meeting.
Where's it at?
Right here.
Oh, perfect. Gosh, I won't even ask to look. I'll be here. This is getting to be a bit of a habit. Thank you.
Thanks,
Ms. Merrill.
May I come forward and address the Joe Cozad?
You may have pushed the bench. Yeah, it's you.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to let the commissioners know this, but I just wanted to let the council know as well that we use that on the mountain facility for our main shelter for the community if we have to shelter people. That's a kind of a big deal for us, and we put in backup power to that building, and we store some of our emergency sheltering equipment there as well. So I really would like to see the fire panel project go forward so that we can continue to use it as our shelter.
So you're saying that that would fall under some of your hazard mitigation preparedness grants and help us with funding?
Well, we've talked about it in the past, but I don't know that I can get Homeland Security funding for the fire suppression, because they'll tell me that probably that the building probably needs it anyway, so. But it's something I can ask about. I'd be happy to do that. Probably be a no, but I'm not opposed to trying it. So. Thing with those grants is they're usually it takes about a year and a half before you ever get the grant award. But anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. If you can come up and it's so we get it on record.
My name is Dale Thought. I'm the president of the local pickleball club here in Baltimore. We also use the facilities at Bottom Rock. We average probably between 12 and 16 people per day, 5 days a week or so, especially in the inclement weather and during the wintertime. So we would also, I guess, ask for support in getting this facility where it's able for us to do that. There's 7 of us here. We've got a club of excess of 50 people now, and it gives them something to do in the wintertime, as everybody knows, when the weather's bad, you can't go outside. So we would support funding for the fire prevention stuff as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Wendy Smith, and I'm with Sheridan College. And I just wanted to, first and foremost, thank you for your support of Sheridan College serving, Johnson County through the use of this space. And I guess my thoughts that I'd like to share with you tonight are that it's my hope that the end result of this is this and this, not one or the other. And what I mean by that is, we appreciate very much the discussion of what is the future of this space? What is the future of this location? Is it reaching its potential? That's a great discussion, and the college would love to be a part of that. We need to plan as well. And that's a healthy, healthy activity and action. And if it arrives at an answer that is definitive, and we all know whether or not we're going to invest more in that space or go another direction, that is a great thing. But the and is, in the meantime, it's my hope that you would support these, you know, improvements so that more and more people can continue to utilize the space. So those are my thoughts, and I appreciate your time.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I'm Brandy Harwell. I'm with the Wyoming Business Council, so I'm the state economic development person for this region. I work Campbell Creek, Weston, and Johnson counties, and live in Wright. So, very rural community. I've spent a lot of time with Joko First over the last 6.5 years on this project. Just to give you a bit of background, we put about $1 million into that building in 2017 through the Community Facilities Program. That was one of the last awards to renovate a community or a government-owned facility. Just recently, in the past legislative session, they just put another $5 million into that program, so now they're reviving the Community Facilities Program again. But just wanted to give you just a quick background that has been done. We also put about $30,000 in planning into that facility before that to make sure that it made sense to do that. I've met with Claudia today. She talked about 33,000 people have used that facility in the last year, and you guys know, anytime that you bring outside dollars in, that's good economic impacts for your community. And then finally, I just also wanted to pass along that both Newcastle and Moorcroft have been over here and have talked to Claudia because they want to use it as a template for their old school buildings that they have in their community. With that, thank you for your time, and thank you for your thoughts on this issue.
You said that they spent $1 million on it in 2017,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't put this fire warning thing in there?
That was part of the... So the fire panel was not part of it. The sprinkler system was part of it, but then the Joko First Board actually made a request to pull that out of the... contract, and I don't remember because this is before my time. I misspoke, 2014, because I started in 2017. So in 2014, they put $1 million in. But do you remember the history of that?
I just know that the money was given, and then I don't know who decided what goes in, but what has been updated was the LED lights, the painting, the large gyms and the small gyms, and those two doors facing north and south. Those were the sales that I know, and everything was LED, you know, retrofit or something like that. And I think, wasn't there a new boiler system in that too?
Yeah, the fire panel was not part of the discussion in 2014, to answer your question.
And from what I remember, the main part of that $1 million was heating and air conditioning in the big gym, and then the mini splits heating and air conditioning throughout the rest of the building. So that building had no air conditioning before, and now it's fully air conditioned. But that was part of the main grant. There were some electrical upgrades required for that, and a little bit of extra money. I think that was included the kitchen remodel, and I think there's a little bit left over from the original $1 million grant they used for some of the other projects. I'm not sure of all those.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Can I say one more thing?
Yep. I'll get to the nice lady in the back.
Thank you. Real quick, all I wanted to say too is you have to remember I'm working the facility 5 days a week or longer, being on call, doing this for 6.5 years. It would be nice to have just a decision made of some sort, because it doesn't make sense to put in any more money, or if we do, then go all the way, and then I continue to improve the building like I have in the past. One other thing came up in, I want to say April or May, I was invited to go to present in Casper in front of the Wyoming Association of County Officers, And Buffalo won the bid to be part of having the conference here for 2 years in a row and have it in writing. And they awarded the Bummerman Civic Center, and I worked on this with Carla Bishop on the whole thing, and I just to see this for 2 years in a row, which means 280 people for 3 days in Buffalo in the shoulder season of September, all accumulated for 2 years in a row, and I'm continuing to do things like that. And I don't know if council knew that or not, but I just wanted to let you know that that's what I'm also working on, getting with him, but it is for Bamanam, and I don't know where else we can put 280 people at the same time. That was one thing, and that was just something I wanted to, if you make those decisions, you know that we're working hard to kind of keep it up, and a decision would be very helpful in the day-to-day work of my job. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. I'm Phyllis Puckett, and I'm a previous employee of the Senior Center, and I am also a pickleball player, so pickleball friends are here, and we definitely appreciate everything that you are considering on behalf of the pickleball club. But also, I am an instructor for Senior Fitness, that is happening at Bummer Mountain 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, directly following pickleball practice and then. And I have a tremendous heart for seniors in this community. My class I teach on Wednesdays, and I have 15 to 20 on a regular basis. The other instructors do as well. And then, and we, the instructors just work so hard to provide a good workout for those individuals who come and they love the class. They need it from a social standpoint and also for exercise. We work on balance. We work on all kinds of things. And I get so many of them coming to me after class going, "That was so much fun. We feel so good after this class." And I just can't imagine not having Bummer Mountain and the safest Bummer Mountain that there can be for the seniors in this community. And then, because they deserve that. And they try so hard in their wellness, their walking, their balance, everything that they come for. And yes, it's social. And if you guys have, people, grandparents, and or seniors like I am, then as well, and then you know what it means to have a happy mind, and then because their minds stay active and their ability to think and make good decisions for themselves is all tied into that. So I just ask you to please consider this on behalf of all the seniors who attend and will attend. I have new people all the time coming to the class, and they deserve the best. Thank you.
I'm Bob Perry. I'm one of the county commissioners. We have set aside quite a bit of money over the past several years for Bummer Mountain. We set aside $150,000 every year for the sprinkler suppression system, which we've decided they don't need at this point. But we will continue to support the fire suppression effort, but if the city decides that they don't want to participate anymore, that building, if it's vacated because the fire marshal says it has to be vacated, you guys need to find money to tear it down because it's not our building.
Any more statements for or against this? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, I do believe that we have a motion and a second.
Just a second.
I'll second it. Then we now have a motion and a second to continue to the 15th. Any further discussion? Council? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next on the agenda is Jerry Spearing, affordable housing request.
Continuing my efforts, as you remember, last meeting I submitted a resolution and a rough draft of an agreement for a joint power agreement. I've decided that nothing happened with that. So what I've pretty much come to the conclusion is I'm doing a lot of work going forward and as much as I can. But I'm not getting a lot of fellow efforts to go forward. It was suggested this morning at a separate meeting that we have a work group made up of two council members, Johnson County Planning, Buffalo Planning, Planning and Zoning member, City and County, and realtors, but make a work group. It's an informal group, but make a work group that what it does is help create a continuing push amongst those that can push. I found I don't have enough gravitas or whatever the word might be to bring along action, and that's where that's what we need is action. So those working group, I would like to formally request creation of this working group, and one of the tasks would be education. We can go to hopefully Wyoming Business Council and have a seminar for this group that explains all of the things that are available through the Wyoming Business Council, which includes all of the government agencies, to bring focus to what's available and also bring focus to things we need to do. And the methods to create this, we need to continue to look for creation of this stuff. Now we have three excellent things happening, and you'll see, talk with Alex here in a little bit, but there's applications being made for WCDA, through the WCDA, for units for Buffalo. I believe there are going to be three organizations, and they're proceeding to try to get grants, tax credits, to get started on this. All of them are probably 24 units, like I said before, 2 years to get occupied. But, that's great. I'm all in favor of that, totally. But we need to do other things to keep going. And so, if you find it within your purvey or within your abilities, please create this working group. And I don't know exactly how you do that, but I don't think you need another rough draft resolution from me, but I'm happy to create one if that's what it takes. But get a working group and get some people on it that are anxious to make this stuff happen and help educate community, the councils, the commissioners, and all the people involved so we can get moving forward. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Spears?
All right, I just want to say one thing. Thank you, Jerry, for taking this head on. I know it's a serious issue in our town.
and one that we're not ignoring, and I appreciate you putting forth the effort to try to educate all of us and show us some different options, so thank you.
Thank you.
On a new business, Race Fellowship, a request for variance of City Code 16.61. Is there a representative from Race Fellowship? Mr. Letter. Race Fellowship is requesting a variance Saturday nights, August 12th and 19th, and Sunday, August 13th and 20th, they're going to have some outdoor service times. That's where they're wanting to expand their campus. Service times are 5:30 on Saturday evenings and 9:30 on Sunday mornings. Pastor Gilbert says they don't expect an extreme amount of noise, but 200 people raising their voices in worship. Can I get a motion to approve the noise variance for Grace Fellowship Church?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hallelujah, something got done. Friends Feeding Friends, request to use Washington Park for food van distribution site. Is there a representative here? There she is.
Hi there, I'm Brian Waller. I am the program coordinator for Johnson County Friends Feeding Friends. We were blessed to receive a grant to get a food van to feed kids in the summertime, and we are requesting from the city the option to use the city park 2 days a week for time for Tuesdays and Fridays. And we don't want to interfere with the snack track at all, so we were hoping to use the train side of the park. And we'll be serving lunches from like 11 to 1. They're free just to kids 18 and under. And so we were just asking for some space to make that happen. The food van is not finished yet, so this will probably be a next summer request. So thank you.
I guess I don't have a problem with feeding children. Can I get a motion to approve the request for use of Washington Park for food and distribution segment?
So moved.
Second. Have a motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Gavin and Danielle. Y'all are looking kind of thirsty.
Thirsty and a little bit smelly. Weird. So I'll just give you guys a rundown real quick on these guys. They've got an application for an outside water city tap on 114 Airport Road. They came before planning and zoning on 725. And then the recommendation from P&Z was to approve these guys for an outside city water tap. One of the main reasons, easiest, is we have a transmission on the northwest side of Airport Road. A few years back, his neighbor actually brought a line over to their side of the road already, went through the EQ process, they approved it, so they stubbed an 8-inch line over their side of the road, so we're no longer tapping the transmission line, we're tapping the feeder line, so that's right, the property line ready to go, so should be no hiccups there.
Is it contiguous to property in question?
No. No, far from it. So
is there any that's in that, it's an association out there, isn't it?
No, at this point, it's just him. It'd be him and one other neighbor on that particular branch line that'll be on it.
Which part of it?
Just a quarter mile from the airport, left-hand side, 114. He's right beneath the tank. And so there is one small issue with that is the pressures, the gravity feed pressures there are low. I think they were registering around 20 pounds, so they're going to need to have an in-home water booster pump. Their neighbors have the same thing. They're aware of this, so that's something that can be all sorted out to get the kind of pressures they're going to need.
Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a motion to approve the request for a water action move?
I'll second.
I saw a move and a nice second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Miss Marilyn, you may approach the bench.
One last thing on these guys. I just had the water connectors agreement. I need it notarized, so if you can come back tomorrow and you can cover all that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Now, Marilyn, you may approach the
bench. Okay, Mr. Mayor and council members, we had a mutual aid agreement for a number of years, but it needed to be updated. We've gone through new council members and mayors. I can't remember who the last one was, maybe Mike Johnson at the time. So what this mutual aid agreement does is it officially forms an agreement between the city and the county for emergency services. Meaning that if we have a flood and the city would need to request equipment use from the county, this mutual aid agreement allows that to officially happen. And typically it would happen anyway, but if it was a big enough event that we could bring FEMA in to help reimburse, they'd want to see our mutual aid agreements. So it's just a matter of updating the agreement and going from there. And I don't know if you've had time to review it, or you probably would want your city attorney to take a look at it, possibly.
I reviewed it.
Look good.
He's on top of it.
Okay. So, with that, I'd like to ask you to sign the mutual aid agreement. The town council in KC also has a copy of it, and they'll be signing it at their next meeting, and then there's a spot for the commissioners.
Is this the original?
Probably not, because it looks like it's double copy. I can get you an original. I can bring it down to Julie.
Do we have to have the attorney look this over?
He did.
Oh, you already did?
I did.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Dennis is on it, yeah.
So I think a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the mutual aid agreement between Johnson County and the town of KC and the city of Buffalo.
I'll second that. Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Bring me a reach on this, huh?
Thank you.
Mayor's appointment. Can I get a motion to reappoint Zach Smith to the KBJ Economic Development Joint Powers Board for a 3-year term?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome back, Zach. Mr. Alex Burkhalter, am I pronouncing that right? Housing Solutions LLC, Affordable Housing and Trust.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Well, I sure hope we can keep your streak alive. You're just approving on time. Get stuff done. I have a little presentation that Terry is going to help get going here. Of course, I've also learned I brought some paper because you never know. Well, he's getting that set up. This evening I wanted to share with you a little bit about myself, my company, how we develop affordable housing. That's, I guess, so far all you'll know about me. But we do have a request for you tonight, and then answer any questions you have, which I expect there will be many. So with that, I'll get started. Again, good evening. Thank you for having me. I have to apologize if I'm a little rummy this evening. This has all kind of come together quickly. I actually drove down from my home in Missoula, Montana this morning. It's a beautiful day for a drive. We were actually here in Buffalo 3 weeks ago. Let me explain who we are, what we do. Again, Alex Perkalter, Housing Solutions. It's a company that I started about 10 years ago. I've been working in the affordable housing development industry for about 20 years. We specialize in developing rent and income restricted housing. Worked in Montana, Wyoming, Montana's where I live, Wyoming, and also North Dakota. We're pretty consistent developers in Wyoming. We've completed two projects recently. Casper was done in 2021. It finished. And then one in Cody finished in 2024. You'll see that picture of the one from Cody quite a few times because, hint, hint, that's what we're talking about trying to do here in Buffalo. When we were in town, it was just a kind of a prospecting trip. We were looking to try and do a project in both Sheridan and Buffalo. And, you know, the key in any project is the site, the land. You know, you got to have somewhere to put it, and it's got to be the right site. Part of our process, we always reach out to the local community and just meet with the planner informally because, you know, of all the people about Buffalo's needs, I'm the least informed in this room. I recognize it's your community, and you guys know a lot more what's going on. And Terry actually set up an informal meeting for us. We met with Jerry and then also Rick, who's the chair of the planning board. And it was, I have to say, it was one of the most informed meetings I'd ever been to. Jerry had a ton of great questions. I found out, Tyler informed me later, Tyler's my associate that was down with me, that the guiding document for the funding sources we use in Montana is called the QAP. It's literally 200 pages long. And Jerry mentioned at the meeting that he had started reading that. And kudos to him. It's taken me 20 years to figure that thing out. But anyway, after meeting with them, it became very apparent to us that there was a huge need in Buffalo. We'd heard about the veterans' home and some of the trouble with teachers and other things like that. Maybe some new developments out near the highway, that type of thing. So we've gone about our process of looking for property. And over the last 3 weeks, worked with Terry some, as well as just looking around, spoke with a few realtors, and the city has a site that we wanted to chat with you about and see if we could make something happen. But before I get into that, let me just share how we develop rent and income restricted housing. We use a program called Housing Tax Credits. It's a federal tax credit that's administered by each individual state. In Wyoming, that's the WCDA, the Wyoming Community Development Authority. Each state gets an amount of these credits based on either their population or a minimum set aside. Wyoming, as well as Montana and Alaska, I think maybe one other state fall in that minimum before. So it's about $24 million a year, plus or take, is what the state gets in these federal tax credits. Receiving an award to do a project is a competitive process. That QAP that I mentioned, that explains how the state will score projects and which ones will be funded. It has all the rules that we have to follow. And so part of that scoring methodology, and this is why the site becomes very important, is where a project's located. They look at it as far as proximity to schools, grocery stores, medical services, hospital, that type of stuff. And another thing that they consider is local donations and if there's any local support for a project. So the way housing tax credits work, very simply, is it's an extra incentive. It's a public-private partnership. The housing tax credit is the public piece. The private piece is private for-profit developers like myself or nonprofit groups compete for these projects, and if successful, We get investors to bring in capital to help us get them built. As I mentioned multiple times, in exchange for those tax credits, we agree to keep our rents restricted, and the people who live there have to be below a certain income. And that, the WCDA monitors the project throughout the course of our restriction agreement, which is 50 plus years, to make sure we're playing by the rules. They check in with us every year. So this type of project, who would it serve? So incomes, and the income for a household is based on the number of people that are in it. So we just pick three people. You can see there's different levels. So the red, $25,000 to $41,000 per year. The 100% income level for a three-person household, as published by HUD, is $83,500 for Johnson County. How HUD exactly comes up with those numbers is kind of a mystery to me, but I just know they publish them in April, and I go get them and go forward. And then you can get a sample of the rental rates. I can tell you that the red numbers, that's the rental rates that these projects would have. This is based on a two-bedroom apartment home. The market rate, we don't yet have a market study, so I just kind of took a stab in the dark based on some conversations I've had. But as you can see, usually they're significantly below market. One question I always get, and I'm always trying to learn, is who's going to live there? And so in the mix of units in the project, there's all different set-asides. Like CRC, it says 30%, 40%, 40%. Those are percentages of that area of the income. Probably what you guys are most interested in and what makes the most sense is that what does that approximately equate to in an hourly wage, right? And so, again, this is based on a three-person household. So there you can see about what an hourly wage a resident living in these. They would have to be under that. They could obviously make less, but that's approximately the max. So we always get asked about nurses and police officers. Depending on their household makeup, maybe, maybe not, but definitely support staff, you know, your janitorial folks or custodians in schools, you know, clerks in stores, that kind of thing. Oftentimes we can help them. Our typical household in this type of project, I should mention, we're proposing what we call a family project, so it'll be two and three bedrooms. And we, you know, envision that most of those projects end up filled with single parents. You know, usually because the income limit is based on the number of people in the household, if you have a couple that they're both working, they're probably going to be over the limit. That would be the hourly rate for the whole household. So oftentimes in our family projects, it's a single parent with, you know, two or three kids. And that's distinct from a senior, which has an age of 55 and older, and that's not what we were trying to do in Buffalo. Because one of the main reasons is, well, we call it family, even, you know, a senior should be more than welcome to stay there as well. So this is what we were thinking for Buffalo, a 24-unit building, one building, three-story, made up of two- and three-bedroom apartments. The trick, of course, as I mentioned, is finding the right piece of land. Based on our visit and talking some with your planner, there is a piece of property on South Bird and Cemetery Road that's currently owned by the city. And it hits all the metrics for the WCDA. I think it would be very competitive in that process. For its location, especially if it's, you know, just south of the elementary school and the middle school. High school is not too far away. It's close to downtown. And in addition, if we could work with you on the land, you get a very strong, I mean, there's no stronger demonstration of local support in Buffalo saying we recognize we've got an affordable housing problem and we want to try and do something about it. You know, so our proposal would be that we enter into a long-term lease with you guys. And I apologize that it's coming so fast. were my next slide, I think, of the timeline, and that'll maybe help answer some of those questions. But the idea is a 99-year lease that would allow us to build the building, and our financing people, we all comfortable with that. We've done leases before. And that lease would restrict the use. This project can only be used for an affordable housing project. So that's our ask. I want to talk more about that, but that's generally where we're going to see if this property would be something we could use to build a project like this. My company, Housing Solutions, would be a long-term owner in it. 5 years down the road, if there's a problem, it's, we may be back here talking to you. We stay involved long-term. We do the development, this part. I work with a contractor who's built everything for me in the last 20 years. They've got experience in Sheridan, experience in Covey, so we'll be able to get it built. And then for management, we actually hire a third-party company that manages it. But at the end, they manage all of our things, including projects in Sheridan, Covey, Casper. Don't have any in Buffalo yet, but thank you. So this is the part that's a little scary for me. It's kind of come together quick. The applications to the WCDA, full applications, are due end of September. So that's about 60 days from now. We have to move quickly. The longest lead time item for me is one of the conditions of an application. We have to order a phase one environmental assessment, and then also a market study for Buffalo. And the market study includes both a look at the town and then specifically how the market study people feel this project will perform. Both of which I'd be happy to share with you once we have them. They like to have about 60 days, so we're kind of right there. We specifically, the ask we have tonight, I guess, is we sent in an option to lease. If you guys were, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith and own this property privately and all that kind of stuff, it would be basically like a purchase and sale agreement. Because one of our conditions of our application is we have to show we have control of the site, right? So the WCDA says, yes, go do it. We don't want to go back and say, oh, shoot, we gave the property. So it's kind of like a purchase and sale agreement where it outlines at a high level what the terms are. And then if we're successful in getting the WCDA funding, we would enter a more formal lease for the property so we could go forward and do it. That's a lot of talking from me. I imagine you guys have some questions, and I will do my best to answer them. So,
Alex, you said you had projects in Cody and Casper and Sheridan.
Yes.
And did they all give you leases for a dollar?
No, those are, we purchased the property from private parties.
From all of those projects?
Yes. And
have you ever done a lease with a government entity before?
We have not done a lease with a government entity. We've developed on leased land. And I wouldn't, one of the things I would want to make sure before we enter into the lease, obviously work with your attorney to make sure it's all on enough for that, but all that kind of stuff. We don't want to get into that kind of trouble. That doesn't go well for anybody. But there's no problem building a tax credit project on leased land. And we have done, we've done it on leased land, just not with land that's been owned previously by a government.
And Dennis, have you had a chance to look this over?
I just looked at it tonight. And my only comment is that it doesn't specifically describe the project being doesn't describe it as being low income. It's not specific enough.
And I, because of the time. timeline that we're stuck on right here. I'll just shoot fully fair to you guys. I'm down here to try and take the temperature. I understand, and it would seem unreasonable to ask you to make a decision on this tonight. Like, I mean, I'm a developer. I'm optimistic about stuff. That's a big one. That's a really, really big one. I just kind of wanted to see where you guys were at and what your thoughts were this, because I would want Mr. Kerwin to have some more time. We could work those kind of things out. But I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
Thank you for your candor. I mean, just getting this right now, I would want more time, but my initial reaction is I really don't think you should be in the housing business. I just don't.
Well, are we? In my previous life, working with hotel developers, and you get about halfway done and it goes away, then what happens?
What do you mean it goes away?
Now the lease or the developer goes broke, or the project falls through, and now we have a half-built building on government property. What's a backup plan for that?
Well, we've never...
Not saying that your company ever has. But.
Yeah. I guess how I'd answer that is these projects are heavily scrutinized. And anything's possible, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I asked.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got the housing tax credit investors have, you know, got me under their thumb for sure, all kinds of financial guarantees and all that type of stuff. So when we started, I mean, we 100% believe we're going to finish. And then as far as the operation of it, it's underwritten by the WCBA, it's underwritten by our equity investors, it's underwritten by our lenders. So we haven't had that problem, you know. Just shooting, I don't know if I could bond the demolition of it partially. My mind's spinning on how to mitigate that risk.
The company I report had to come up with millions of dollars to finish the project. And that's what I guess I'm asking is, what's the guarantee that this project will go from start to finish and have a viable product at the end of it?
Yeah. And so... We could work some sort of a guarantee in the lease, right? That's where it would. The option to lease, like I said, it's us saying this is something we want to do. We're gonna do this. If Alex can put the money together, we'd like to do this. The lease itself will be much hashed out between all the attorneys as far as the guarantees and all that kind of stuff. With my equity investors that buy the tax credits, that use the housing tax credits. We sign a completion guarantee where I'm a blank check until the building is finished. That's on me. I've got to finish. So they're usually kind of the 800-pound gorilla, and you know, if they're happy, everybody will be happy.
So what about this? If you change your mind and you get this option first, and then you change your mind and say, you know, I'm not really interested in this. Is there a way for us to opt out of this option, or is that in here? I haven't read
it. Yeah, so it's set up so that, again, the property is only used for the project that I'm proposing.
Yeah, so if you don't do it.
And two things would happen. One, if we're off to the races and I can't hit the deadline, my market study doesn't come in time or whatever, then it's just the lease option expires.
Okay.
The second thing would be we get our application turned in, it's complete, and the WCDA receives 20 applications, and I guess I blew by, but usually they fund between 3 and 6 projects. Mm-hmm. And I don't score well. That's my we didn't score on the money. We're out. We didn't get the funds. Again, the option expires.
Okay.
It's only specific to this project. And Councilwoman Camino, to answer your question or statement, we would only be looking for the land or, you know, entering into the lease, and we're going to make that payment of $100. And as far as the operation and you're dealing with tenants and all that kind of stuff, you wouldn't have to be involved in it.
Right. And I'm looking at income for the city. You know, we have law enforcement to pay, lots of fire panels. Mm-hmm.
In our properties, just because it's on leased land, it would still be assessed if you property taxes and all that kind of stuff.
Right, but also if you purchased it, it would still be assessed property taxes.
Yes.
And there'd be a lot of money in our coffers.
To
support city business.
Certainly. Yeah.
And that's a good question. Have you looked at purchasing property of this size in Buffalo? In the Buffalo area?
Yes, we have. And some of the ones we've looked at to purchase, part is they're not as well located, they don't score as well, we'd be leaving points on the table. Also, part of the lease thing is, while I'm not an expert, one thing I do know is it's a pretty complicated process for the city to sell property. And so that was part of the idea with the lease, if this is something we can look at now. And, you know, again, full disclosure, I shared with Jerry, I said, well, how else do we pick, you're here talking to me, and what if somebody else is here, and, you know, you guys could go through a full request for proposal process and all that kind of stuff. And it's not like this is your only shot. They do this every year. But it is an option, and I wanted to come down and share.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate you coming down, and I understand your concerns, Councilwoman Camino, but I've been in probably 3 meetings in the last week, and affordable housing continually comes up. We have CNAs that are needed, all sorts of positions. And so I think it's that we've kicked this can down the road for going on 2.5 years in this position. And I don't know what the answer is, but we have a gentleman here that's approaching and giving us some options. So I think we need to consider it seriously and let them know. At least my temperature is I'm in favor of looking into it.
And that means to send it to our attorney to review, right?
Correct.
That's what I would like to see.
And on your timeline, take the next 2 weeks to review it with our attorney and your attorney and finalize if we can approve it at our next meeting, the 15th, would that still meet your deadlines? I think if we go beyond that, it's a little too tight. I'm sorry, you had to have something to do with CBA by the end of the month.
Yeah.
And, I think that's... Let's talk. And, I'm happy to continue to answer any other questions you have and try and...
I'd like to kind of add on to some of Alex's stuff. With John, this is a huge issue we hear every day. I met with the school superintendent yesterday morning. He has 30 spots he needs to fill. He needs 30 units. He asked how many of these he could reserve. I ran this plan by him, because the location is in his neighborhood with all the schools. And he said, no, he's 100% thumbs up behind us, the location of it. If they need to add staffing to their morning routines, afternoon routines, releases, and whatnot, as far as crossing guards, that's their problem. He's 100% behind that. I don't think Buffalo has a housing problem. It's a crisis. It's right now we're in. As far as that creates a employee shortage crisis now. Now we don't have a housing crisis, we have an employee shortage crisis. And then so now we have, because of the employee crisis, we have a wage war crisis. So now we're waging war, business against business, to trap each other's employees, and the wages are going to a point where it can't sustain itself. And so this is a multiple layered issue here that I think starts with the availability of the housing and being able to have housing for the people we need and employees we need. So I think if we can start somewhere, start with getting some type of housing going, and the city be the leader and the role model on this, maybe next year we approach some other entities and stuff to ask, hey, what would you be willing to do? We want you guys to come back for another application, or maybe not then, maybe another one. But I think that would definitely, you know, show what the city's willing to do and help the community out in a big way. You know, we may not be making a big lump of sum money if we were to sell it. Like, you know, if we were to sell, we make a big, yeah, sure, one-time lump sum. But, you know, we are getting the tax dollars out of it. We will be getting money from it. And another, you know, we're also solving a problem. I think this morning she said he had an employee ready to go to start work, and they don't have anywhere to live, so now they're not coming. So, I mean, that's right here on our own home front. That's someone that could use this housing. You know, so you're also solving the other problems, you know, that's not just money-wise. So, you know, I think it's a city-owned property. It should be used to benefit citizens of the city. And if your job is to either deem this worthy and a benefit to the people of the city or not, I think is what my opinion is. But my recommendation is that we seriously look into this and maybe approve this to get something wrong for both people. Thanks, Eric.
Do you have any more?
No. Scott, did you have anything?
No. I'd make a motion to refer this to our city attorney to negotiate an option agreement that we can discuss and possibly finalize and vote on at the next meeting, August 15th.
Yep. I'll second that. Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you.
Can I get a motion to accept the settlement agreement between Marvin Brown and High Fire LLC and the city that was brought forth by Mr. Kirk and...
Second.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Just one caveat.
Nope.
The agreement that we agreed to would not cover the repayment of the funeral. That's the extent. Does everybody understand
that? We're okay with that.
Perfect. The other thing that I'm going to mention is that.
I think we're going to be. Yeah.
Sorry, it takes a while because I'm sure that I'm going to miss the lamb, which is one of my favorite meals out at the fairgrounds every single year. And I just hope there's some lamb.
I know somebody.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. Madam Clerk, did you get to it?
Yeah.
It was kind of a fast one.
Yeah.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'll get that signed, and do we get that back to you, Mr. Kirk?
Yes.
Okay. Really quick, do you have anything else for the order? Okay. There's some lamb chops out there waiting for you. Terry A.C., Village Inspector.
I don't have anything else to report. Any questions from you?
Chief.
So, very busy month of July. I only ended up with 3,600 total calls in our 911 and our admin lines. Out of those, we had 864 incidents that our officers handled, of which we ended up with 12 arrests. Was a very, very busy week. We had some folks here from Longmire, so Jennifer McCormick, Daniel Burns. We worked very closely with them. I just want to say thank you to them. They did a wonderful job staying in touch with me. They were very thorough in their planning. We just kind of talked about this morning. I worked pretty much every event here in town. Had some supervisors come out. We were able to man that event and continue our service to the community with no hiccup. And we did that at zero cost to the city. That's zero overtime. for us to work that event. So all that revenue that was brought into our city stayed to our city. So, and I couldn't have done that without, you know, without their help and the help of all their volunteers. So I just want to make sure that everybody knew that. Also couldn't have done it without the help of our city works department. Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, making phone calls at the barricades because I thought I had to shut Main Street down, which we didn't have to do because we had two major events going on at the same time, so we could keep Main Street open, we could keep our businesses happy, we could keep the Saturday in the Square going, we could keep the baseball game for Longmire going at the same time. And all that flowed very smoothly, and I couldn't have done that without their help. So it was just a huge effort with a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, and just a great event, so I just want to thank everybody that's here. I asked them to come and thank them for their help. So that's a big deal. It's big for our community. I think it went smoothly. We didn't have any problems, any issues, and then we just rolled right into, you know, this past Saturday with our street concert and another, you know, street closure. And just, again, I'm reaching out to City Works at 7 o'clock at night to get some stuff for the bathrooms that we did, so everybody needed some help with. So just a great communication with everybody, and I just want everybody to know that I could have done it without all their help and some, you know, some good efforts from our department and other departments in the city. So that's all. You guys, answer any questions? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now I would like to introduce City of Buffalo's newest department head, Mr. Kevin Silvernagle, who is the new Director of Public Works.
Thank you, Mayor and Captain. I really don't have anything new to say from our meeting this morning, but if you have to answer any questions, you have to.
I don't have anything, and you know, Kevin, I just want to thank you for stepping up, filling in. It's a huge, huge, huge job that you have. And happy that you accepted it, and happy that you're stepping up and bringing your experience and longevity with the city to the leadership.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Kevin, could you give us the road openings again? Sports stores and all on Wednesday, and the alley behind the Buffalo Bolton Boss Brewery, that will be the 11th, next Friday. So, and the alley will be open.
Yeah, sports are going to tomorrow.
Wednesday, yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah. Castle and that's the one where the dress and scores on that.
For those of you that are here for the next segment, thank you for your patience. Are there any oral or written comments?
Okay.
You may approach the bench.
I just wanted to come forward to the council and thank everyone for their assistance with Walmart Days. We could have done it without the permitting and police officers who helped us out all weekend, our city employees that did an amazing job. Longmire Day is an event going by the Longmire Foundation. We are a 501c3 charitable organization. Longmire Day is to honor Craig Johnson, a local author, and his success, and to, as a vehicle, to bring more tourism to our community, and with that, more tourism dollars. Last year, we donated $10,000 to Friends City Friends of Johnson County, Brianna City. I'm sorry, I have to mispronounce that every time. We also had donated $10,000 to Johnson County Search and Rescue. And in 2020, when we were shut down from COVID, we still donated $6,000 to our local animal shelter. We are continuing our donations to the animal shelter this year. They're our local charity. Our national charity is Souls of Honor, and they provide educational scholarships for spouses, and children of fallen or disabled service people and first responders. They're looking at it now. That charitable foundation is also available to people in our community. Should someone need everything to apply to that, all of our national organizations are open to our local community. So we're pretty excited about it. We think it went great. It was bumpy in the start, but it all went well. And we have to thank all of you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting me speak. My name is Daniel Carmio.
And I'm here to share my concerns about usage of tennis courts. It's amazing that small city of Buffalo has two tennis courts. And I always like playing because it kind of helps me to keep my emotion, to, you know, unwind, and it's just really nice, healthy outfit. In 2019, I noticed the lower courts by the line were turned into pickleballs. Very nice courts. They have heaters, they have seating, lovely parking. But since 2022, pickleball is trying to take over upper court, which is next to the pool. And it wasn't pretty quiet. Last year, I was able to play three times. And one time, in the night time, they showed me where to turn the light. So, construction net is always there. It's an orange construction net because pickleballs don't want to chase that ball. Prime time is taken, and they said the council allowed them to do it. When I asked them, you know, where's the time posted, when should I come? First come, first serve. I said, I understand, then it will be nice to come. Nothing. Poster shown up this year, like two numbers call about tennis court. They cut hole in the back because supposedly they want to bring their supplies. I don't think it solved their problems because there is a jump like this because they had a hard time pulling up. They claim that they clean it for tennis players. And last time we were harassed with the leaf blowers. Three times we came, actually, and Dale, the gentleman who was here first, he's a resident of Pickleball Club. Twice I played with my daughter, they're like blowing it right there. Third time I said, no, you're not doing it until we're done. They practice in Bono Mountain Gym. And it's lovely because playing pickleball, you don't have to bounce the ball off the ground, you're just pegging it. The playing part there, but I don't know how to solve it. It's why I came to you. But what's frustrating is that lower court is just now sitting and deteriorating. Nobody using them. So I understand they want to be active. They don't want to play when it's 104 degrees. They don't want to play in dark. So how should we even approach it? And when high school plays, they post when they're playing, but then when the kids going to come, it's pickleball is all the time there. And it doesn't ever look like tennis ball from the road. So just please help to address it. Concern, because I don't want to drive to Sheraton. I like it here.
We'll have a talk with the pickleballers.
I want to thank the city of Buffalo for listening to this. I just wanted to add something to her comment and a possible idea. I've seen it in other communities where I've lived, where if someone reserves public facilities for their use, there's a fee associated with it. I would suggest a possibility of $3 a person for the session, limiting them to an hour at a time, and then allow people to have access to the different facilities. And so, just an idea. Thank you. Thank you, Brady, for your consideration. Mm-hmm.
Any Representative Craig.
Mr. Mayor, thank you, Council. I won't take time because I also want to get to the land fee. I think we're getting at the end. We're going to get to the dregs probably, but that's okay. I just wanted to follow up and, I guess, offer my support to Jerry and his idea, and, you know, also thank him. He's put in a lot of effort. I've met with him on multiple occasions. He's attacking this at lots of different levels, whether it be the city, the county, the state. We've met with Senator Kinski, and we've rolled around ideas. I think there's going to be some legislation coming forward. This is one of the issues that I think everybody kind of agrees on that we can do something about, that we can help with. And it doesn't necessarily cost money. There's things we can do that don't cost money. Sometimes it's just ideas. Sometimes it's the support that we can provide as a community. And so I like Jerry's idea of the
of a working group and getting some of us together, and maybe that's, you know, obviously city, county. I know Casey's having the same problem. That's probably, we can probably include Casey in this group as well. Get somebody from their town council. And I'm willing to help. And if we're all on the united front and working towards the problem together, I think we can get something done. You know, I think we all agree it's something we probably need to do, but we just need to show that we agree that it's something we need to do. And I think that's one way we could do it. It's just some time, not necessarily money, but it gets us going in the right direction. And it, and all of us have different ideas, and I think if we all get in the same room and on different levels, we can put those ideas together to maybe come up with a way to attract people, because every town in Wyoming is having this exact same problem. So if we want to fix the problem in Buffalo, we have to outcompete everybody else to do that, whether it be for funding or the builders or the developers, because they're going to go to the next town. If we're not able to get them here, they're going somewhere else to build their facilities for folks to create workforce housing. And so I guess I'm just here to ask you to seriously consider what Jerry's proposing, and I'm willing to help, and I think we can get the commissioners on board to do the same. So thank you for your time. I'll see you out at the tournament.
Are there any other oral or written comments? Oral or written comments? Hearing none. Announcements. City County meeting August 15th at 7 a.m. right here in this very little building. City Council meeting August 15th, 5 p.m., same time, same place, just a different day. Planning and Zoning Board meeting August 27th at 1 p.m. Anybody want to guess where it's at? Right here in this building, same spot. August 22nd, yes. And then another announcement, if you are an elected official to any board, the public officer training, the City of Claremont has set one up August 26th at 9 a.m. If you need to go to that meeting to get your public training, get a hold of Mayor Schock at Claremont, and I can get you his email address if you'd like it. They'll get you on the list. There's also another one August 30th in Cheyenne. Can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Bills are paid. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Mayor, I've got one more request that I can move this property that's contingent on this agreement to rezone at the next, put it out tentatively on the agenda for planning and zoning for a rezone this month.
Okay. Thank you. Did I have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah,
you do now.
So I'm second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Oh, wait. Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You don't want to do it?
I don't want to.
Everybody enjoy your land.